I'm glad that you are here today. We have been in the book of Acts for a long, long time and are going to be there for a long, long time, just making our way through this incredible book. If you have your Bible, or if you didn't bring a Bible, I want to encourage you to take one in front of you there. Today, I've told you before, someday I'm not going to have any words on the screen. Today's that day. Some of you are going, oh man, I've become codependent on the screen. That's okay. So we have Bibles in the pew in front of you. We're going to be in Acts chapter 7. It's on page 915. So take a Bible, open it to Acts chapter 7, 915. And while you're doing that, I want to make you aware of something that was on the little Arapahoe Road today that you got when you came in this morning. There's a note about halfway down that mentions some church-wide strategic planning. That's coming up in a couple of weeks on the 16th and 17th. It's a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Those 2 days, those in our church who would like to gather for those 2 days, and it's a full meal deal, so you got to be in on the whole thing. You can't just kind of a la carte and pick and choose and come and go as you please. It's a commitment. It's a two-day commitment. But what we're going to do during those 2 days, just as we did last July, on this July, the 16th and 17th, we're going to pray. Those who've come together, we're going to pray. We're going to seek the Lord. We're going to go through some really creative strategic planning opportunities, and that's going to set the course when we come out of those 2 days with all those who gather there. That's going to set the course for the next 12 months of our ministry plan. So I hope that you will pray about being a part of that. It's open to anyone. I know there's several who have already signed up for that, but we need to know by this Wednesday, July the 10th, if you're going to be there, because we need to prepare some supplies and some different things for that day. So you can call the church office or email Judy, judy@arapahoeroad.org, and let us know if you're going to attend. If you have any questions, feel free to call the church office. But I want you to be a part of it, because God's doing some incredible things here at Arapahoe Road and through Arapahoe Road, and we want your voice to be heard, and it's going to help chart the course for the next year. So please, please, please pray about being a part of those 2 days in the coming weeks. Hey, anybody have a great July 4th? Raise your hand if you had a great July 4th. Man, I had a great July the 4th. I love July the 4th and July the 4th weekend. I love just being able to take a break and kind of celebrate what all of July the 4th means. It's, you know, it's an incredible time to celebrate freedom, to be a part of just the community and to be with family. I don't know what you did on your July the 4th. We went to Allison's mom and dad's house. It's called Red Hill. It's outside of Gainesville. It's out in the country, backs up to a horse farm. And I mean, we grilled steaks. We had Dr. Pepper floats. We watched an outdoor movie. We set up a little movie screen out there, and fireworks. Jack is a big fan of the fireworks. Lucy's a big fan of the fireworks. I mean, all day long, it was like, how much longer until the sun goes down? It was the longest day since, I think, Christmas Eve. I mean, we were waiting for that sun to go down, and because we lived out in the country, I mean, we were shooting those fireworks off, and there were fireworks going off in the distance, and we just had a great, great time. And I was just thinking about 4th of July. I was thinking back of memories on 4th of July and just kind of going, wow, you know, we've had some crazy 4th of Julys. 4th of Julys. We had some great holidays. It's been so much fun on the 4th. And there's one time, speaking of fireworks, we were out at when I was growing up, at my cousin's tank out in the country, out in Hamlin, Texas, outside of Hamlin, Texas, out in West Texas, and we were shooting fireworks off over the tank, and they were like, boom, and they would hit in the water, and everyone was like, oh, that's really cool, and somebody who was creating these fireworks, this one particular one that we bought, this bottle rocket, somebody thought it'd be funny if they put like 10 times the amount of gunpowder in it, or black powder, or whatever kind of powder. And I mean, we lit that sucker off way over the tank, way over my cousin's land, across the road, into the land on the other side. And we were like, wow, that's awesome. I mean, that field caught on fire, and my granddad and all the other guys, they went running across the field and didn't see the, you know, it's nighttime, it's dark, didn't see the barbed wire fence. Boom, my granddad was wearing his starched dress jeans. You know what I'm talking about, dress jeans?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the starch, this weren't his work jeans where he climbed off the John Deere tractor. You know, he'd been plowing. These were the starch, his show jeans. And I mean, got a big old hole in his jeans, gash. They were out there trying to tamp the fire out. I just thought, man, that's what freedom is all about right there. Good times. And today, we just entitled today, Celebrate Freedom. Liberty and justice for, say it with me, for all. I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I want to do it a little bit differently. I want to talk three different times this morning, just kind of chop it up a little bit. And you know, our country is 237 years old. That's a lot of history, isn't there? Anybody in here a history buff? I mean, you just mentioned joy history. Any of you kind of going, that is not my deal. I like living in the moment, like right now. I'm a present kind of a person. Well, history is a beautiful thing. It's an incredible thing. And there's a lot of pieces to our 237-year history. Do you know that? And some of you are like going, yeah, there's a lot of wars, there's a lot of treaties, there's a lot of stuff that's happened. And some of you may be going, yeah, you could start with Paul Revere and just keep going all the way up to right now. Others of you are kind of going, yeah, Paul Revere, and there's that Washington guy, and then the Washington Senators baseball team, and something happened in the middle, I'm sure. I mean, Jack's watching the video this morning, and the first song, he's like, hey, man, that's those four guys, those are the presidents, that's Mount Rushmore. We need to go there someday. Yeah, we'll swing by there after church. But there's all these pieces. There's all these pieces to this incredible puzzle, and, you know, when I was having conversations in recent days with a mom that's been bringing her kids to the church here, and she went to church as a little girl, and she said, man, I just feel this responsibility to bring my family. And I'm just like, awesome. And she said, I just feel so dumb because I don't know all of the stories like everybody else knows. I'm like going, everybody doesn't know all the stories. Some of us have a pretty decent grasp. Others are just like, yeah, creation and then Jesus and he's coming back. Awesome. But there's some other puzzle pieces, aren't there? There's some other pieces that kind of fit in place that have allowed us to be at this place about 11:25 on July the 7th celebrating freedom with liberty and justice for how many? All. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to just try to put some pieces in place. Would that be okay? We were on a cruise, had an opportunity to go on a cruise last week, and it was amazing. We stopped at three different places, and every place we went, I was just kind of like, wow, we were just there for a moment. I would love to go back and invest some more time there. What I want to do this morning is just kind of cruise through some places and stop off and deport just for a minute and get right back on and keep going. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some different references this morning. And I encourage you to jot those down or to flip real quickly. But I want to just kind of put some pieces in place because all these pieces, what they really have to deal with is freedom and liberty and justice for all. Not just for me, not just for you, not just for those who live in the red, white, and blue, but for all. Do you know back in Genesis 1 and 2 when God's creating human beings, he's just created the world, he's created human beings, and the first thing he says to Adam and Eve is, man, I want you to just enjoy this place I've created. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. And you know what? He says, you're free. First thing God says to people, you're free to eat from any tree in this garden. Don't eat from that one, though. I want you to choose me and not choose to go against me. If you eat that one, you're going to die. But you're free. I created you for freedom. And they enjoyed their freedom for a little while, and then they just got off the rails, and they disobeyed God, and God said, oh, man, I told you not to do that. That's not the best that I have for you. And all throughout Scripture, this liberating king is on the horizon. The Messiah, Jesus, the Christ. And you know what Paul says later on in Galatians chapter 5? He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. In other words, don't eat from that tree of sin, death, Satan, and hell anymore. Choose life. Choose freedom. Be the kind of people I've called you to be and created you to be. Live in freedom. Live in relationship with me. Freedom. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you might want to turn there. Hold your finger in Acts 7. Flip over to a few pages to the right. Page 965, 2 Corinthians 3. Look what it says about freedom. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, page 965, if you're using the Bible in the pew in front of you, says this in verse 17. Now the Lord, talking about Jesus, the Messiah, the liberating King. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Verse 17. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You're free to eat from any tree that you want. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from sin, death, Satan, and hell. There is freedom. There is freedom. Wow, what's he writing in response to? He's writing in response to some things that the church at Corinth didn't just really get a piece of the puzzle they didn't connect with. Look at verse 15, what it says. It says, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. But why the Lord? Why when one turns to the Lord? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. They say, wait a minute. To this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. What's he referring to there? Let me put another piece of the puzzle in place. A veil over their hearts. Veil, veil, veil. See, Paul's writing in language and terminology that the people in the church, that they would have understood. And what he's making reference to is something that Moses, because he talked about Moses. He's not dissing Moses. He's not saying what Moses did is wrong. He's just saying we miss it if we think all Moses was about was the law. Moses was about life. See, he's saying it's more about a heart to have, a freedom to experience than rules and regulations to keep. And in Exodus 34, he's making reference to it. Exodus 34, verse 29, look what it says here. It talked about our hearts being veiled. It says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, why did he go up to Mount Sinai? To meet with God. And God was going to give him something up there. The Ten, also known as the law. He was making a covenant with the people. It says this, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, this is Exodus 34, 29. With the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, and he came down from the mountainside. Moses, check it out. Moses didn't know that the skin of his face shone because he'd been talking with God. That's what happens when you get face to face with God. You just light up and start glowing. Verse 30, Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Verse 31, but Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? He's talking about freedom. Verse 33, and when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face, putting some pieces together. Because see, we've got a 237-year history, but when it comes to our faith, it goes way farther than that. There's a bigger picture with lots of puzzle pieces. You go, wait a minute, what does this have to do with Acts chapter 7? Flip over there and I'll show you. Acts chapter 7, Before we get to Acts 7, look at the last verse of Acts 6. We read this a couple weeks ago. Talking about Stephen, it says in verse 15, Acts 6, 15, and gazing at him, gazing at Stephen, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. In other words, it was kind of glowing. You know what Luke, who's writing this, is referring to? Moses. The way Moses' face was glowing, and the people of that day would have been making the connection. Wow. His appearance is like this same appearance of Moses, the one that we hold up so, so high. Why was he sitting there in the first place? He was sitting there in the first place about getting ready to speak his peace to these religious people because Stephen had been speaking about the liberating king. Stephen had been speaking about freedom found in Christ. And Stephen had been saying, hey, we need to celebrate this freedom because Christ, who's the Messiah, came for liberty and justice for, and that hacked off the religious people. Because see, all through, anybody like baseball? Oh, me too. And if you're a batter, you got to guard the inside part of the plate, the middle of the plate, and the outside part of the plate. And if you're the pitcher, you got to work those corners and try to throw strikes and strike that batter out. Just imagine these religious people kind of crowding the plate. They're going, you're not going to get nothing by me, boy. I'm going to fight it off. And Stephen's just going, I'm going to work all parts of the plate. And so what Stephen's about to do is throw three fastballs right by the religious leaders who are trying to protect their religious plate. You know, what are you talking about? Well, look back just a little further in Acts 6. Because here's why I got there in the first place. In Acts 6, verse 8, it says, Stephen, full of grace and power, he was doing great wonders and signs among the people. And then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedman, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and Alexandrians and those from Cilicia and Asia, they rose up and they disputed with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's freedom. Stephen's putting the pieces together and it's connecting, and these religious people can't figure out why is he so smart. It's because the spirit of God is working through him. And so what happens? Then they secretly instigated men who said, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against who? Moses and God. And they stirred the people up and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and they seized Stephen. They brought him before the council. They set up false witnesses. And they said, this man never ceases to speak words against this holy place in the law. For we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth is going to destroy this place, will change the customs of the law of Moses delivered to us. And there it is, verse 15. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw his face like it was the face of an angel. And then we get to chapter 7. Watch this. You're going, oh, we're going to be here a long time. We're going to be here a long time. Remember, this is a cruise. But one thing I found out is that there's some places I want to go back to. Take a little bit longer. So what I'm going to do is be a cruise director to you this morning. And I want you to go dig a little bit deeper. And I'm going to show you the three things that Stephen does here. Because see, it says in verse 1 of chapter 7, and the high priest said, are these things so? And right here is the tipping point of the whole gospel. Here's where everything starts rolling. That Christ had done up to this point, the liberating king, he put freedom within our grasp. Stephen had connected the dots, was putting the pieces in place, helping people to see a bigger picture. The religious people are crowding the plate, going, nobody's getting anything new past us. And what Stephen does is throw three fastballs right by him. You go, what are those fastballs? The land, the law, and the temple. Would you say those three things with me? The land, the law, and the temple. the next 52 verses is Stephen rearing back and firing fastballs right past the religious establishment. And what Stephen does is say, this isn't just about those who are living in this land right here. This goes way beyond this land. It goes way beyond this land. See, verses 2 through 34 is Stephen talking all about the land. It's Stephen putting a history lesson in place over the last centuries, putting these puzzle pieces in place. And he's talking first about Abraham. You think Abraham meant something to those people who were crowding the plate? Shake your head, yes. Absolutely. And he starts out and it just says that the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was where? In Mesopotamia, not Jerusalem. It's outside this land that you so value. And then he just goes on to talk about how it was all about these foreign lands. And they're like, wow, I hadn't really thought about that. And then he keeps talking not only about Abraham in verses 2 through 8. And he gets down and in verse 6 it says, and God spoke to this effect that his offspring would be sojourners in a land belonging to others who would enslave them and afflict them 400 years. And they're all sitting there going, yeah, those were our ancestors. He's talking about a covenant that God made with Abraham. It's found in Genesis 15 and about verse 13 it says, for about 400 years, there's going to be slavery. And God comes and just takes them out of that slavery in Egypt, different land. He says, I'm going to take you to a promised land. Why is he doing this? Because what he's doing, what Stephen's doing is going, guys, this is about freedom. This is about liberty and justice, not just for you and me, but liberty and justice for all. It's not just about the people living in our land. It's about all the lands. And as a matter of fact, that's where our heritage goes, way outside of Jerusalem. It's into Egypt. It's into Mesopotamia. It's to the ends of the earth. And he's just kind of sitting there throwing a fastball by the inside corner of the plate. He goes on, talks about Joseph in Egypt in verses 9 through 16. A different land. He goes on to talk about Moses in Egypt in verses 17 to 28. I want to show you one thing and then I'm going to ask the worship team just to sing something over us. Look what it says here. This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. Don't miss this. This is for you. Because it's talking about Moses growing up in Egypt. In verse 28, it says, after he's killed this guy that was oppressing one of his people and he hit him in the sand and everybody finds out about it, it says, at this, Moses fled and he became an exile in a foreign land known as Midian, where he became the father of two sons. And now when 40 years have passed, if you feel like you're in a foreign land and you've been there a long time, God may be working something miraculous in you. And when he'd been in Midian for 40 years, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness at Mount Sinai in the flame of a fire and a brush. And when Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. And he drew near to look, and there came the voice of the Lord. And it said, I am God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Moses trembled, and he did not dare look. And look what verse 33 says. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Another way to translate that is the land where you're standing is holy ground. You go, why do I bring that up? Because your liberating King, the one who created you, the one who came to rescue from sin, death, Satan, and hell, doesn't really care where you're from. You know why? Because he's the Lord of the land. He's the landlord. Whether it's in America or Iraq or Iran or the Dominican, whether you came from a great home or a broken home or no kind of home, he's the Lord of that land. You know what God just said to Moses? I came here to meet with you, and the place you're standing is holy ground. And it was way out in the wilderness. And God wants to meet with you no matter where you're from or where you find yourself. He's just saying, would you come and meet with me? Because I want to meet with you. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, say it with me, freedom. And we need to celebrate our freedom because it's about liberty and justice for all. I'm just going to ask the praise team just to sing this song called Meet With Me over you. See, that whole first thing that Stephen's talking about is, hey, it doesn't matter what land you're from. What matters is that the ground you're standing on is holy if you'll meet with the Lord. He wants to meet with you. And Stephen just fired that fastball right past him. Strike one. And then from verses 35 to 43, Stephen throws a different pitch. And now he's moved from the land, and now he's going to talk to him about the law. The law. And see, they've been trumping up charges going, hey, this guy's speaking against Moses. And he's going, I'm not speaking against Moses. You're just misinterpreting it. Yeah, God gave Moses the law. He talks about that right in the middle there in verse 38. Acts 7, verse 38, it says, he received living oracles to give to us. See, what Stephen's saying is, God, you're missing it if you think God gave us a bunch of rules to keep. What God's given us are rules, boundaries, order, but they're not just a bunch of rules to keep. It's intended for us to have a heart that moves in step with who God's created us to be. It's less about rules to keep. It's more about a heart to have. Because God's all about freedom. Freedom living within the guidelines, within the boundaries, within those rules. Freedom walking in Him. Walking with Him, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty, there is justice, not just for you, not just for me, but for all. And He's saying, guys, you've missed it. If you think it's just about keeping a bunch of rules, you have missed it. Josh McDowell says it like this: rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And if you read through Acts 7, that's exactly what happened and what Stephen talks about. Man, most come down from the mountain, golden calf, they're running crazy, they're living in this freedom, and they're like, man, you're messing up royally. You've taken the liberty of freedom beyond the boundary that I set you up to have. And it's just going to lead you to death. Why? Because rules without relationship, that relationship with that God that wants to meet with you, whatever, wherever land you find yourself, rules without relationship leads to rebellion, and rebellion leads to death. And Stephen's just going, guys, you've missed it. If you think the law is just a bunch of rules to keep. I remember growing up in church. I trusted Christ when I was in second grade, and I'd go to church, and I was this law kind of kid. That's just the way I was. I wanted to check all the boxes. I remember sitting in church, getting the bulletin, seeing all the things that we were going to do, and like going, okay, I did that. Scripture reading is here. And that's good. But at the end of the day, I would walk away from there. It's like as a 10-year-old going, God must really love me because I did all the things. I sang all the songs. I turned in the Bible. God must, I even gave the dollar in the plate that my dad gave me. I gave the dollar in the plate. God, you must really love me. And when I was 16, I began to see God wants more than a bunch of rules to keep from me. He wants a relationship to walk in where there's freedom. And I just began to walk differently. Was I saved as an 8-year-old? Yeah, I think I was. I think I just had to keep growing and understanding, man, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Students, some of you are going to experience that when you go to college because you're missing the relationship part and you just see it as a bunch of rules and a bunch of boxes that you have to check. And I'm telling you, you're going to walk away from the church. And that's okay if you walk away from the church. Just don't walk away from God. Come back to Him. Church will always be there. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Am I saying church isn't important? Not at all. I'm just saying if you come to church and check a bunch of boxes, but you miss the relationship with the Lord, you'll never experience freedom. And liberty and justice will never be for you. And it wasn't for these religious humps that Stephen's talking to. He's going, guys, you're missing it. It is for you. You're just missing it. And you're more infatuated with your land and you're more infatuated with your law. And God's going, it's not about rules to keep. It's about a heart to have. And I got that differently when I was 16. And I've been walking in relationship with Jesus differently since then. And so what we see Stephen doing here is throwing a second fastball. Strike two. Because the word of God isn't just a bunch of rules. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And God speaks to you and wants to meet with you in it and through it. I want you to hear this second song that the worship team's going to sing over us and allow it to speak to you. And then, see, that word of God was intended. Yeah, that word of God has always been intended by God to speak to His people. To speak to people. He's going, it's not a bunch of rules to keep. It's about a heart to have. It's about a relationship I want to have with you. Doesn't matter where you came from. And it doesn't matter how many boxes you check. If you're missing a relationship with me, and I will speak to you through these words. Last part on the cruise is this. And the last fastball that Stephen's going to throw is aimed at the outside corner. It's aimed at the temple. Just want to touch on this for a second. And as I do, would you just stand with me right where you're at? Because I want you to see something, and I want you to do something. Because the last part of Stephen's swan song is this. It's verses 44 through 50, and that's where he talks about the temple. And he says things like this. Our fathers had the tent of witness out in the wilderness. Goes on to talk about a dwelling place of God and of Jacob. In verse 47 it says, but it was Solomon who built a house for Him. And then he just says this, yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands. Because see, in Jerusalem there was this thing called the temple. And the religious people just guarded it like crazy. Still do today, that place. Although it doesn't stand in its entirety anymore. And man, Stephen is just going, guys, if you think God cares more about the temple than you, buddy, you've missed it. It's not about the land you're from. It's not about the law you try to keep, which you'll never be able to keep perfectly. And although the temple and coming to temple and being a part, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We should not forsake assembling together, it says in Hebrews. But if you think it's all about the temple, buddy, you've been on an adventure and missing the point. And you're not experiencing the freedom. God's called you and created you and designed for you to live in. And he zooms that fastball in the outside corner. Strike three. And he buzzed them. And you know what it says that the religious people did? About verse 57? It says they charged the mound. And they took Stephen down. And they killed him. And that's the tipping point that allowed you and me to celebrate freedom and to experience liberty and justice, because we're part of the all. Because if it was just about those religious guys in Jerusalem, you and I never would have had an opportunity to hear about Christ, the liberating King. And we never would have experienced freedom. We never would have experienced the Lord. Why am I telling you all this? Because your freedom goes way beyond what that one piece of the puzzle that we celebrated on July the 4th looks like. An incredibly important piece. I'm not minimizing. I'm just saying, let's maximize it and see the whole picture of freedom. And if you've never trusted Christ, no matter where you come from, and you've just been living by the rules, but you've missed the relationship, and you've come to temple all your life, but you've missed the freedom found in Christ, what I'll invite you to do this morning is just sing with Dan and this team, "I Surrender All." I'm going to be right here. We're not going to take a long time. We'll be out of here in 5 minutes. But if you need to put your faith, hope, and trust in the liberating King named Jesus, I'm going to be right there. If you want to make this church your home, I'll be right here. I'd love to help you. If you need me to pray with you or one of our prayer counselors to pray with you, I'll be right here. They'll be right here. If you need to follow Christ in baptism in the days to come, come on. Others of you may just want to kneel at these altar steps and pray. You may want to go to the Lord's Supper stations and take the bread and the cup and just go, man, this is a reminder of freedom. A symbol of freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom and liberty and justice for all. Just respond and then we'll head out in a moment. I'll be right here if I can help you. Let's sing.